Well, good morning, Crossings. It is good to be with you guys this morning. As Larry said, happy Easter. I love being in here on the week after Easter because here's the thing. The way has begun. Easter is the beginning, not the end. It is not even halftime. It is the beginning of the Christian faith that we start to live out as a body of believers. And so I'm excited to kick off this new series called The Way Begins. But what I wanted you to do this morning with me is I want you to get into the minds, into the hearts, into the experience of the disciples. Because they had to have been thinking, what just happened? This did not go the way we thought it would go. This is not what we had hoped. Hope is a strong thing. And speaking of hope, let's be honest, the disciples aren't the only ones that hope. We here today in this room, we are expert hopers. This is like all we do. I hope you have a good day. Hope that meeting goes well. I sure hope they like me. I hope that assignment's not due today. Right? Like we hope all the time. And really the hope that we're talking about is a wishful thinking hope. We're wishing that this day goes well. We're wishing that assignment's not due today. But that's not the hope that we talk about around here when we talk about things like being a voice of hope. What we mean is a biblical hope. It's a confident assurance that God is going to do good, even out of this. We see that all through Scripture, that God is not about making us have better circumstances. He is about being with us in our circumstances. And that he is doing more than we think. So it's not wishful thinking, it is confident assurance and anticipation that is anchored in God's faithfulness, not a flimsy outcome or circumstance. And so this morning we're gonna talk about the fact that Jesus is alive and has given us a better hope. What we're gonna see this morning is in Luke 24, Luke tells a story known as the Road to Emmaus. But it could also be called The Way Begins. When two disciples leave Jerusalem that day, their hope is lost. When it came to following Jesus, it seemed like the end of the road. Jesus was dead. But on the way, they discovered a new hope that was better than they could ever have imagined. This story in Luke chapter 24 literally has everything. It has disappointment and despair, suspense and confusion, unexpected turns and mistaken identities. It has astonishing revelations and incredible joy. What a few days it had been for these disciples. So let's set the stage. It is Easter Sunday in Jerusalem. The same day that the tomb was found empty by Mary Magdalene, by Joanna and Mary, the mother of James. It was the same day that Peter and John ran to see it for themselves. And soon Jesus would appear to Mary outside the garden tomb and she would spread the news of his resurrection. And Luke's gospel in chapter 24 gives us another story of that same amazing day. Like if I was writing a headline for this text, it might read, "Meanwhile, on the road to Emmaus." Verse 13. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" I love Jesus. To be honest, like I'm really hoping he's a little bit sarcastic here. Like, what are y'all talking about? What's going on? But I don't think the text lends to sarcasm. That's just me. It says, and here's how I know that. As soon as Jesus asks, "What conversation are you talking about?" It says, and they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Clopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in these days? And Jesus said to them, what things? They said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests, the rulers, delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. The first thing we see on the road to Emmaus is a short-sighted hope. I mean, picture this scene with me. These disciples, they've been with Jesus. They have heard Jesus. They have seen miracle upon miracle, healing upon healing, and people being set free from the oppression of the enemy. They saw Palm Sunday, Jesus welcomed into Jerusalem as the next king. Their hope could not have been any higher. But then they say, but the oppressed, our chief priests, our people, delivered him up to be condemned and killed. They had to have been not just despondent, but confused. But we had hoped. Now, it's not a bad hope. It was just a short-sighted hope. They were hoping that Jesus would free them from the oppression of Rome, that he would be their redeemer. They were utterly disappointed, sad, and confused. And they called, did you catch it? They called Jesus a prophet. And it just makes me wonder if what they heard all along from Jesus was just a reminder, a throwback to the book of Exodus, when God's people were enslaved and oppressed, and this deliverer named Moses came to set them free. And that the disciples' hope was that Jesus was the new Moses. And like many of us, they were looking to Jesus for hope. But here's the thing, they were looking through the wrong end of the telescope. You know what I'm saying. The telescope, if you turn it around, everything looks super far away and unclear. That's what they were doing. And many people misunderstood Jesus. It just wasn't these two. We see Peter misunderstand Jesus. Just read through the Gospel of John. You got time. Go read it. And everybody Jesus interacts with misunderstands what he's doing. But here's why it's important for us today. We are not immune to misunderstanding Jesus and therefore having a misplaced hope. I get it, we want Jesus to take our side, humiliate our enemies, make us powerful, eradicate our suffering, but he's doing something bigger and more beautiful than giving us our best life now. He's doing more, and it is better. Now, before we move on in this story, let's not miss how Jesus interacts with these two disciples. Notice that it was Jesus who drew near to these two disciples. In the midst of their despair, in the midst of their disappointment, in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death, Jesus drew near to them. What a comfort we have in Jesus, the risen Christ. It does not matter the level of despair, the amount of suffering, the disappointment, or the sadness. What we see is our suffering Savior draws near to us in the midst of the sadness. Because the fact is that God knows you and he sees you. He also knows that our hopes can easily get attached to specific outcomes. But God is always doing more than we think. Jesus did not come to defeat Rome. Because another empire will always rise from the rubble. Jesus was setting his people free from the tyranny of sin and spiritual oppression. He was disarming death by dying and rising again. Jesus didn't come to save us out of our circumstances. He came to show us how to live with hope and in victory in the midst of our circumstances. He became like us, and we can become like him through the power and the inner working of the Holy Spirit. So, we see here in the first few verses of the road to Emmaus is that Jesus is first and foremost alive. And now he is about to flip the telescope around so that we can see clearly what God is doing and that these disciples can realize that he has a better hope for them. Verse 25 continues, and he said to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses, funny that he starts with Moses, the deliverer of God's people, and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all of the scriptures the things concerning himself. So the second thing that we see on the road to Emmaus is a resurrected hope. We start with a short-sighted hope, and now Jesus is about to resurrect the hope that they believed was dead. If there's any moment in the Bible, like I'm serious, if there's one or two places in the Bible, for me, if I could go back and be a part of this is the place I would want to go. There's probably a lot of great things, but this one is where Jesus explains the entire Old Testament through the lens of himself. We have some incredible teachers and preachers around here, but to have Jesus Christ himself lead you in an Old Testament Bible study would be something else. When I think of what it must have been like to hear Jesus unpack the Old Testament, to connect all of the dots, this is what I think of. I think of a detective and the investigation board, right, of all the pictures and the strings connecting all the dots. That must have been what it had been like. And when I was preparing for this, I'll be honest, I thought of a really popular meme of a guy standing in front of one of those boards. We've got a picture of it right here on the screen. This guy. This is what comes to my mind. Like, you would not believe how this story comes together. Now back to the text. It sounds like kind of a harsh response that Jesus gives to these disciples. But I think what he's basically saying is you are not understanding what I'm saying. You have missed it. Your hope has been misplaced. You see, when we have been hoping one way on one thing for so long, our hearts are slow to change and to align with Jesus. Theologian N.T. Wright says this, "We need to learn to read the scriptures. And for that, we need the risen Lord himself as our teacher." These two disciples had the risen Christ as their teacher. And here's the good news. You and I have the risen Christ as our teacher. As a believer, we have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us. And so as we open the scriptures, it is the Holy Spirit's job to remind us what Jesus has taught us. You see, Jesus reframed their short-sighted hope, giving them a long view of God's plan. And now we begin to see in this story the tide of sorrow receding and a new swell of excitement beginning, because they are starting to sense that God may be doing more than they thought, and it was better than they had ever hoped. Verse 28. The story continues, "So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him, Jesus, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is towards evening and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight." What? So here's the third thing we see. We see a living hope come out of nothing. Jesus is alive. That what they had thought had happened had not actually happened. What they feared was dead and gone was actually alive and well. They recognized Jesus. And do you notice when they recognized Jesus? When he broke the bread. I have to believe that they saw the scars on his hands. And it was in that moment they realized this was not some stranger on the road. This was their hope, who had defeated death and who is now alive again. You see, we here in this story, we see the real Jesus in his broken body. The bread of heaven offered freely for us, the blessing which brings us life. But wait, Jesus vanishes. Again, what is going on? Wouldn't you have loved to be at that table? Like, wait, did you see what I just saw? Was that Jesus? And then poof, he's gone. Man, unbelievable excitement followed by crazy bewilderment. Now, before we move on, I want to look again at how Jesus interacts with these two. Let's not miss this. Did you notice that Jesus waited to be invited in? He did not force himself into the home. He acted as if he was going to continue on. What does that tell us? Jesus is interested to enter where he is welcomed and where he is invited in. And when he is invited in, guess what he does? He takes over the meal. He becomes the host of the celebration. And what does that mean for you and I, that we serve a Savior who will not force himself upon you? He will wait to be invited in. The question is, have you invited him in? Is he welcome in your life, not just as Savior, but as Lord? I just cannot believe, that Jesus Christ, the whole Bible is written, and that his purpose was to die on the cross, be beaten and crucified and raised from the dead so that we would give him 1 hour on Sunday. I can't wrap my mind around that theology. Jesus has come to make his home within us, to transform and renew and regenerate us, to give us and be our hope. So Jesus has opened their eyes to their short-sighted hope, to himself. They thought hope was gone. They thought he was dead, but hope is alive because Jesus is alive. But the story doesn't end there. I told you the story has everything. The sadness, the despair have receded. But the waves of astonishment and joy and excitement are hitting the shores of their hearts and their minds over and over and over again. Verse 32, they said to each other, Jesus vanishes. They said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And then they told their story of what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Oh, my Lord. This picture. They were leaving. Are you watching the arc of what Luke is doing here? They're leaving Jerusalem. Sad and in despair and just confused. And then this man comes along and opens their eyes to seeing what God is actually doing. And it's met with excitement to the point where the 7-mile walk, I gotta believe, was about a 1-hour run. It's Marathon Sunday. They had to have been running, right? But their hope, their excitement said, I cannot stay here. We have to do something with this hope. And that brings me to my fourth thing that we see, and that is a shared hope. Did not our hearts burn within us? You see, once received, hope and joy are shared. Hope moved them. Has it moved us? Or do we just know history? These two disciples, It moved them. And it moved them back to their community of fellow believers. But what I love here is that even the slow and sad hearts among us today can be set fire when we encounter Jesus. It's never too late. The hope was shared, and it moved from a personal thing, that just two guys at a meal with Jesus, and it became a communal thing. Did you see what it said? They came back and they started sharing stories. They found the 11, and those who were with them gathered, they shared their story. The Lord has risen, and Peter saw him. And then they're like, hey, we saw him too. We were on this walk. It's that power of shared experience. Our faith is not meant to be lived alone. Our faith, our hope is personal, yes, but it is not private. It is communal. It is a shared hope, it is a shared faith, and it is a shared mission. That we as a church are on the same mission, that to bring the hope of Christ to the city of Oklahoma City, Edmond, and the surrounding areas. That is our mission. You are placed in your neighborhood for a reason. You are placed in your classroom for a reason. You are placed in your place of work for a reason. And it was more than the American dream, I promise you that. The American dream is a short-sighted hope. It is a temporary hope. It is a hope that can be snatched at any time. Jesus offers a better hope, and it is an eternal hope. I remember I had a friend from 25 years ago moved to town not too long ago, about 2 years ago. Hadn't seen him in 25 years. But we worked together at a Christian camp. And you know what the first conversation looked like? It looked like, hey, you remember when so-and-so did this and then this happened? And we just laughed and remember like it happened just a minute ago. Shared experience brings a camaraderie and a focusedness to relationship. And that's why it's important for us as believers to share our faith first with one another. This is what God's doing in my life. This is how I've seen God move in my family. This is how I've seen God overcome this or that in my life. We encourage and build up the church so that then we have the boldness and confidence to go and share the hope of Christ to the world. This is what we see on the road to Emmaus. C.S. Lewis says it this way, it is never fully ours until we share it with others. It is never fully ours until we share it with others. The hope is not ours until we share it with others. So where have we been? On the road to Emmaus, we've had four short stops. We see a short-sighted hope. We see a resurrected hope. We see a living hope that Jesus is alive. And then we see a shared hope, a communal hope. Come alive. So what do we do with this? Here's the thing. We are all on the road to Emmaus. Each and every one of us are on the road to Emmaus because we are expert hopers. So where are you on this road of hope? Where are you on this road of hope? Short-sighted hope? Do you need a resurrected hope? Do you need to know the living hope? Or do you need to move and share this hope? Secondly, have you invited Jesus into your life to be your hope? Capital H, hope. Not a wishful thinking hope, an eternal hope that is based on God's character and his faithfulness. Or is he simply a kind stranger that you've heard about? But he has walked on by because we have not invited him in. And then lastly, I want to ask you this question to consider. Where will hope move you? What's the next move? Some of us have been sitting for too long, talking about the hope, hearing about the hope, and it has never moved us. Where will hope move you? You see, on the road to Emmaus, a short-sighted hope of two disappointed disciples was resurrected. A living Christ meant a living hope, one that burned so bright within their hearts that it turned their lives around, literally. Back into the fray, back into the chaos, back into the world of Jerusalem where Jesus had just been killed. As we continue this series, The Way Begins, we will see how Easter Sunday is only the beginning. And like the disciples on the road to Emmaus, we too must allow our encounters with Christ to set us on fire, turn our hearts to hope, because Jesus is alive and it changes everything. The resurrection of Christ means a new way has begun. And if hope hasn't changed us, then maybe, just maybe, we are holding on to a short-sighted view of Jesus that we need to ask the Holy Spirit to correct and realign. But the choice is ours. We can stay in Emmaus, hearing the good news of Jesus every Sunday, but hardening our hearts to being moved by the good news. We can continue to live in despair and confusion, anxiety and fear, or we can hear the good news of Jesus Christ, recognize that Jesus Christ is alive, and be moved into this world to share the hope we have found. Amen. So Lord, here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna put these three questions back on the screen. And before we get on to our day and we start talking about lunch plans, can we just come before the Holy Spirit and ask him one of these three questions? And let's actually take a moment to give God the space to speak to us. So I'm gonna put these three questions back on the screen. We'll give you a few moments for you just to pray by yourself or with someone you came with and ask God one of these questions. Where am I on this road? And then listen. Have you invited him in? And then listen. Where does God want to move you to share the hope of Christ? And then listen. So I'll give you just a few minutes. Go. Crossings, Easter Sunday is every Sunday. And Easter Sunday is the beginning, not the end. And I believe the next few weeks as we look into this series of The Way Begins, I would just ask you to come with a soft and open heart. Where would God move you? What would he want to do in your life to transform your hope from temporary things to the eternal security and assurance that God is doing something better and more than you could ever hope or imagine? If you need more time, our prayer teams will be down front after the service if you would like to pray. If you are in a season of despair or if you're in a season of joy, we would love to pray with you. Our chapel is also available right after this service for until 12:30 for you to go and pray, sit quietly with the Lord. But let me pray for us as we dismiss today. God, thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for your word and that Jesus is alive. God, thank you that we are not alone in this faith journey, that you have given us your word, you have given us your spirit, and you have surrounded us with your people. Holy Spirit, would you renew our hope? Would you regenerate within us a different perspective of what this life is all about and what you're calling us to? God, may we be a force in this city for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Would you give us boldness as we go today in the joy and the hope of Jesus Christ? In your son's name, amen. Have a great day.